Nordic Sustainable Economy Podcast Series, delivered by Nordic Council of Ministers.
Hello, everybody. Today, we are listening to the podcast Bits and Bytes Crossing the Borders. And this is a podcast that is discussing how to achieve data interoperability within the Nordic-Baltic region. And my name is Martin Gajavats, and the podcast is hosted by Nordic Council of Ministers Office in Estonia. So a big thanks and a shout out to them. And now we start. A personal story from my side. I've been working for the Estonian government for the past 6 years. And in that, I've been responsible for everything digital and innovation related in our little country of 1.3 million people. And during that time, I have had quite a lot of experience in meeting people and problems what can be solved both within Estonia, but also in the Nordic region, also in the EU and in the world as well. When we talk about creating, for example, cooperation and data interoperability, then the Nordic region seems to actually have a very good position in the world. But in the practice, in the real world practice, there are, I would say, quite a few hiccups, and stuff is not necessarily always working as it could be. But fortunately for us in the Nordic region, we are based on similar values, which means that all of us, all the countries are based on human-centric democratic values. We want to build our digital societies in a human-centric way. All of us want to build it in a transparent, ethical way, and in a way that is not building Big Brother. So from the Estonian side, this is in a short way what we have been doing. But today we have two guests also here that might be able to discuss these issues in higher detail. And one of them is Nina Agard, Chief Operating Officer from Nordic Innovation. Could you please introduce yourself a bit?
So my name is Nina Agard and I come from the Nordic Collaboration from organization in Nordic Innovation. We are an organization under the Nordic Council of Ministers, and our task is to support innovation, entrepreneurship, and the competitiveness of the Nordic companies. And I have a background in the Finnish governmental system for trade and investments, and been working with digitalization, or maybe the transformative agendas, the past 10 years, more or less. I'm really looking forward to the discussions today.
And we also have a second guest here, whose name is Mark Gerlich. He works for the Estonian State Information Authority. So what do you do, Mark?
Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm Mark Gerlich, and I'm working for the State Information System Authority as EID Department Manager at the current state. But I have been working with electronic identity and e-services for past 15 years. And my major topic is actually both at the technical and business level, the implementation of electronic signatures and electronic authentication or electronic identity itself. So yes, our authority where I work, we are basically responsible for the cornerstones of e-state. We are responsible for interoperability, and we provide the baseline services like interoperability framework for data exchange between the organizations and also electronic identity signatures, but also IT security. And we have a supervision division for IT security as well. So
for those who are new to the topic of data interoperability, then a short, brief background and then context is that, for example, in my last 6 years of working for the Estonian government, what the main lesson learned has been is that data interoperability actually is less of a technological problem, and it's really about a kind of a mindset and cultural question. And these things which are more of a cultural matter, these things take way more time to deploy than some particular technological standards or processes or so on. But as we have two very good guests here today, we try to move from starting from a more generic background about how to generate cooperation between the Nordic countries, and step by step move into more specific areas such as seeing how digital identity works in different countries and so forth. But maybe just to start off, do you agree with this point that it's more to do with a kind of a cultural mindset issue? For example, Nina, because you have been working with this particular issue for years, and can you bring some examples on how have you tried to solve this problem?
Yes, I fully agree. It's much more about the culture and kind of understanding the common nominators and being able to find the ways to collaborate in a concrete level, not in the technological level, but the level of, you know, agreeing on politics or the criteria and what to do, the goals maybe, and how to measure. And we at Nordic Innovation, for instance, we have supported a Nordic initiative of interoperability of the health data, so that we could be able to travel around the Nordics and take our health data with us, so that if whenever and wherever in the region we need help from the healthcare system, they can have access to our journals and registers and so forth. And this is not a technological issue, because we do that all the time, same kind of data sharing, if you wish, but financial data. We use our credit cards and we put it out there, the information, and we trust that it works and that it's safe. But when it comes to health data, then it's so personal things, and it's so kind of in the core to our cultures, that's something that we keep private. So there's a lot more these layers of issues related to that. So, but we try to solve that by working together and talking about the cultural levels of this matter.
So, but I think we will come back to the question of the interoperability of health data a bit later. But Mark, what's your experience showed in this, how to get stuff done in the Nordic region? Does it take a lot of time, and how long do you need to explain all the details?
Well, that's a good point you've taken out, that actually it's, I would even say that it's a cultural legacy problem. It has to do with the history of the country and how people are used to do the things, and people have their own processes, or the countries have their own processes for different business areas, and it's not easy to change the processes if they are inherited from culture. A simple example is that in the Nordic countries, the banking industry, the financial sector, has a centuries-long history. These banks are not created 10, 20 years ago. They are centuries-long, and they have their traditions, and they have their reputation. So the whole society is trusting them more than the government, for example, in certain questions. And these are the things that differs from country to country, especially young countries like the Baltic states, who doesn't have these traditions because their traditions was interrupted for more than 50 years ago, and then now we rebuilt everything. But still, it's much easier when you start from the scratch. Much easier to not make mistakes you see others do, or what you see that is not so efficient. And what is in the how to get this, the cooperation to better work? Well, if I knew the right solution, we already have done that. But I assume that it's probably that we need to find a way how we can get the, as in Estonian, we express the church in the middle of the village, so everybody is happy. Of course, most important thing is that we cannot just say that one country's cultural behavior isn't so good. Please stop, do that and change it. It doesn't work like that. We need to respect each other's cultural behaviors, or in this case, the business cases. And at the same time, we should find the common things we can common things we can work on to get further.
So just starting from a point that Mark said, let's put the church in the middle of something. And Nina was talking about a health data use case that, that potentially Scandinavian Baltic citizens could carry their own health data with them. Then I think one of those kind of the churches is back actually having a solid use case and explaining it. Like in my work in the 6 years, and I'm pretty sure that both of you experienced it as well. For example, Estonia has a very strong data exchange practice with Finland, but also there is probably Nina, you have some other examples. The point that I want to make, what I have experienced, is that all of the cross-border use cases always are not being prioritized. Like always, the use case that I can take my data to Finland or Sweden or Norway or Denmark or Latvia, if you're working within a country, then this always has the lowest priority. So what do you think? How can we actually raise the priorities of a few of these churches? For example, if Nina, you are working on the health data use case, do you have any ideas of how to make it more important for the countries to actually be able to exchange data across the borders?
Yes, and actually I can refer that this morning I was talking to the Nordic parliamentarians about this, the politicians, because I think this is something that we also need to have the discussions at the political level. We need to have the kind of the sense of urgency and also understanding why we need to do this, because it's I think if we have the, you know, if we can communicate the drivers, then there's more understanding and in the, within the system as well. So for us, for instance, when we talk about the interoperability and we want to showcase it in different levels, but we have this very concrete story about a young athlete with diabetes, and she needs traveling around to playing the sport she loves. And then if she needs help and need to control her blood sugar or something, then she can turn to the local practitioners or the doctors, and they can communicate with her own doctor who knows her and have, you know, the whole background, and they can make the adjustments together, and she gets the best possible treatment. But this is only one way to kind of tell the story that people understand how concrete it, like in a concrete way. But at the same time, I think it's very important to also have the, like, what kind of technological possibilities. It's a area of business, something that Baltic states are very strong at, and Nordics as well. We have a lot to learn from each other. We have a lot good communications and collaborations existing and in place, so we could do fantastic things if we, you know, pull to the same direction. And then we have this political level, that why we should focus on that and why it's so important. Well, for now I'm speaking from, you know, from the kind of Finnish, Danish, Norwegian context, because those are those three countries that I have in my daily life. I'm from Finland, obviously, and I live in Denmark and I work in Norway. And, you know, in all countries, what we have common is that we are very keen to our Nordic welfare system. We would like to have that. We want to have a high-level healthcare systems also in the future. And I know that that the whole Nordic region agree on that. But how to do that when we are at the same time facing a huge challenges of population-wise? We have more elderly people. We have less children in the Nordic region. You know, the long-term care from the health sector is going to double by 2060. So how are we going to finance this? And now we're coming to what is the motivation and the drivers. So if we work together and we are good interoperability, then we can also become economically efficient, more efficient than we are today. And then I think we can get attention to this matter.
So, Mark, what do you think about different use cases and perhaps also the necessary preconditions that need to happen before this type of collaboration that Nina was talking about could potentially happen? Or
I totally agree that the biggest driver is actually the use cases itself from the real life. The problem I have seen when we sitting behind the round table, all the countries, that every country sees these use cases from their perspective and they have their own priorities. And to agree on certain, find those core use cases we start to work on is a challenge. Of course, it's not impossible. It's something we should take into the table, because this region, Nordic-Baltic region, also the region around the Baltic Sea, is an active economic region. The companies and people are constantly moving over the borders. It means that the goods, the money, and people are visiting different countries in this region. So therefore, we have a real need of services online to be accessed abroad. When you are traveling to another country for business or leisure, it doesn't matter. You want, at a certain time point, use local services. So this has been issue. This has been issue for at least 2-3 decades. The problem is that we haven't defined any vital use cases we need to have to take it not just bilaterally between like two countries like Estonia, Finland, and maybe Sweden, Norway, Denmark, but that we are like 6-7 countries around this table and we agree on 1-3 cases. It could be, of course, healthcare is a one top priority. I know many Nordic partners, they like to also have higher education and everything that has to do with education services. Then, of course, all the taxes and these kind of things are partially solved, but should be better solved. And use cases are those what drive the best, because people understand, as Nina told already, that people understand better if you explain what is the use case outcome of this. But at the same time, it's easier to narrow the scope of the project that we will cooperate on. If we will have too wide, like let's unite our e-governance systems, well, it will never happen. It will take 50 years and we will still have lots of things to do. So we need to just narrow the scope. And it's like we used to say that how to eat an elephant, you take bit by bit. So you take just one bite, chew it, and then take next bite. So we need to narrow the scope to small, small bites that actually we see that our market is in need. Our people needs these services.
So totally agree on there that we need to start eating the elephant, and hopefully from a part that actually can fit our heads. But also, Nina, you mentioned that there is already quite a lot of existing formats in the Nordic cooperation, and then in probably in data interoperability and this topic of getting the bits and bytes across the borders as well. What are the best potential formats to perhaps build this elephant, or at least try to draw up the outlines of it so that we could actually start having a common use case across all Nordic and Baltic countries and hopefully start working towards it? Or what's your experience then?
First of all, I also fully agree, and I think there's like many, many good topics that we could continue. But if I take something a little bit different point of view, this Nordic smart government, since we talk about e-governance. And actually, there is several years already been a program among the Nordic countries, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Finland, and Iceland, where they have taken the whole, but also divided in 6 different pieces. About digital business documents, product information, open accounting, simplified reporting on digital, and reliability of data and data quality. And I think this is the approach, that you have a big vision, but then you take the small pieces and try to, implement those, and maybe also like fail fast, I would add. So if you try out and then, okay, this is not going to work, so then you focus on something else. And I like what Mark said about the mobility mobility across the borders, and there we have like also the kind of logistics and transportation that could be also a great area to work with interoperability, because we already are doing that and we have a lot of business in that. So I think that could be one way to look. And then also the new business models. So when we're now trying to get this green transition, so part of that is also like how to redesign the business from the very beginning and how to use the digital integration and interoperability as a tools for that. Green transition.
So I hope that the Scandinavian countries also invite the Baltic ones to that playing field. But also, Mark, a question to you. As we were talking a bit about the existing like positive examples of formats that are actually working, but do you have ones that have actually totally failed and not have served their purpose of delivering something that they are supposed to? Or are there any examples that we can actually learn from that? Because this is also, I think, a vital part of any innovation ecosystem, that we would be able to learn from mistakes as well.
Well, if we talk about in the cross-border projects, then I believe from the history we can find many from the Europe at European level. We don't need to go to Nordic Baltic level, where we see many projects that happens. It actually technically works, but there is the end of the story, because nobody starts to use it in real life, or it will be used only in one specific sector. What I'm really afraid in this case is that we don't follow the same steps as the EU level do at our Nordic-Baltic level. So when we define these use cases, these use cases are usually sector-specific. Here is a really important to have. We can see that these different business areas, they are like different instruments in that orchestra. Everybody knows how to play their instrument and they know how to play it best. But the problem is that if everybody starts to play for their own, we will not have a music, we will have a noise. So we need to have someone who is dirigating, someone who is orchestrating everything. So this is really important. I have seen at the EU level doesn't work is that if there's some sector-specific use case is put it on the table, it will be solved. And it will be used only in this sector, because another sector-specific use case will be solved differently. And they have no interoperability between each other, and you cannot reuse something that has already been created in one project. In that manner, I really hope that in our region, we at least have this Nordic ministers level. We can have this kind of orchestrating, managing, who is looking that one thing is that we have these different co-work projects ongoing in parallel. But another thing is that also at the technical level that we have some kind of chief technical officer who is looking that, oh, guys, if we solve this differently than this one, we will not have interoperability in the future, and this will be like a two separate buildings, and nobody will use it anymore in the future because there is no lack of interoperability. So in 10 years, we start to build from the scratch again. So one of the key words would be here then sustainability. If we do something, it has to be sustainable, not for 5 years until project ends, but it has to be 10, 20, 30 years sustainable.
So I saw, Nina, you getting excited while Mark was doing his little rant. Have you got anything to say on that? Maybe that who needs to perhaps be the orchestrator or conductor in this case, or who has the potential to become one at least?
I don't know, maybe Mark. I think it needs to be someone with enthusiasm and you know, that you kind of want this change. And the reason I get so happy when I listen to you, Mark, is that I fully agree about this, that we need to have the sustainability. And that's why I mentioned the green transition. And at the moment, in this time of and this era of climate crisis, that is the kind of the largest coordination task that the human history has had. So we need to kind of think very complex, very large entities at the same time and being practical. And that's why we at Nordic Innovation, we now kind of choose to try out and reason that when we talk about interoperability, it's not that it's only in the health sector, it's in everywhere, everything we do as a part of that. I think it's if we can kind of solve the health data issues, then we have a showcase that actually we can do a lot, because that's very good part. If we go back to the cultural things and you know, emotions and all that, that gets mixed up with the political processes. So I think that if we can solve some of these good isolated, not cases maybe, but like sector level issues, then we might, you can be able to use those in a larger picture and have this sustainability and being in line, of course, also with the EU initiatives, because I think that's very important that we do that. I would like to see the Nordic region, Nordic Baltic region, as a test for the test region for the EU.
So one of those kind of lessons learned that has been for me is I would also like to see the Nordic as a kind of a test region, and as our former president Thomas Hendrik Ilves said, every country, whether it's China, Norway, Estonia, or the US, needs to solve more or less three problems. One of them is to have digital identity. We'll skip that for later, but then we need to have a data exchange architecture or a way of exchanging data in a secure way. And thirdly, we need to have a way of preserving integrity, like both in terms of data integrity and procedure wise. But one of those things that I would have been thinking is one of those projects that Estonia has been also, and I as a former civil servant have been strongly involved in, it, is a global initiative called GovStack. And the point there is how to build reusable digital building blocks that can be shared across the borders. The Nordic region is still relatively a rich part of the world. And with GovStack, for example, we are trying to get our attention more towards the low resource settings, basically, namely in the Horn of Africa and Africa in general. But the point is the same, that basically what we feel very strongly and see is that each of these countries is constantly inventing their own bicycle. When we are talking about low resource settings, then it's fairly basic stuff, but even in the high resource settings, for example, Nordics or Scandinavia or Baltics, it's the same. Everybody is inventing their own bicycle. So one of those ways that could actually perhaps be one of those approaches is to basically start using the same modules for different services and data exchange. It means that everybody will be independent in full creative control in their own processes. But it's kind of the way to start moving, at least. Because otherwise, for example, even in the Estonian administrative system, you see so much duplication, which we currently can afford. But very critical is that the back-end complexities will be rising immensely in the next 5 to 10 years, which means that the cost will go up as well. One of those examples of the cost going up is when in the 60s and 70s, the US military wanted to build a fighter jet, which later on became known as the F-35, I think, the Raptor. And they kind of calculated that if they continue doing the business as usual processes, then this would mean that by the year 2000, the whole of US Army, which is the richest army in the world, would have money to only build only one airplane. And I think this is the similar stuff is happening in the digital domain, which means that the processes are going more complex and more thus more expensive. And if we look, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years in the future, I don't know if even we could afford to have so much different copying and so much expenses on digital stuff. So, but I don't know, Nina, what do you think? How can we perhaps kind of kick off this data exchange structures in a better way, or how can we start to build the church in the middle of the village, as Mark put it?
Discussions like this, but I think that we need to raise awareness of the need for us to come together and talk this a very like concrete, or maybe just do some experiments and just to get and work together in a concrete way. And from our little bit different perspectives, coming back to what you said in the very beginning of that, what are the obstacles? So I think the obstacles are there that we still kind of do this plans and in our own countries and read kind of from our own point of views, and we want to have this ownership, and was Mark was into that, so kind of sharing the ownership, I think that would be the first step, and maybe focusing on the sustainability part, because the issues and the global challenges that we are experiencing, those are common denominators. We need to solve them together, and that would be a great way actually put the you know, the challenge as a church in the middle, and then start working with that.
So, Mark, what do you think? Where should we start building this church?
Well, we should start with this church. Well, I think we already are looking for this church in the village. We have many cooperation work groups in the Nordic. Myself, I've been involved in NOBIT work group previously, which is dealing mostly with identity questions. But I think these are the basic areas we need to solve, actually baseline questions. One is, of course, the identity. The second is in the business processes, if we look, is identity. Beside identity is, of course, the trust to the data. Disregarding where this data came from, do we have a common interoperability framework like between Estonia and Finland has been? Data comes from somewhere. Let technicians solve it, how it comes and where it comes. It may come from even from USB token carried by the user. But how we can trust this data, and how we know that this is genuine, and also that this data or information we gather is up to date. These are the questions we need to solve for this church, if we say so. And church itself, it can be any use case we build on. It can be healthcare, or it must be healthcare. I would say that I would prefer also the higher education as well involved. Also, everything that has to do with the financial sector, like taxes, but also the banking industry. Because in the Nordic, we have really strong banking industry. Also, these banks, they have part of the market in the Baltic states. So these interoperability could be better than it is today. And then we can start to look on other areas we have in the government, starting with the social affairs, of course, and so on.
One of the things is like you guys keep telling like financial services, healthcare, and all of those things. Sorry, those are pretty wide and abstract. I understand the context. And yes, of course, the need is there. Education, all of those things. Super cool. But mm-hmm. I think we need to have lower hanging fruits than just carrying all the health data with you. I understand the goal. The goal is totally there, what Nina said about carrying the health data and all of those things. The vision should be like that. But I think we should have also this kind of lower hanging, more pragmatic, practical things that also are able to communicate not only to bureaucrats and politicians and technicians that make these flows work, but also to the wider society. So one of those personal experiences from me working in Estonian government side is, and this is a bit of the image thing or branding thing. And fun fact is, like, we were doing Digital Estonia, and e-Estonia has been growing immensely in terms of brand recognition globally and so on. Throughout the past years, we've done some monitoring that how many articles about, for example, Estonia is there out there. But the fun fact is that during the period when the rest of the world was talking quite a lot about, for example, Estonia or other mature digital countries, then in the Nordic countries, there was only two local newspapers that were actually talking about it. So one of those things is that Estonia and the Baltic states are still considered a small East European countries that were different. And I think this is one of the biggest mindset obstacles that actually there is, that we have changed a lot since 1991, and this needs to be recognized. But one of those things that we could actually take into more specific attention is, because if we look at digital identity procedures per se in detail, then one of those things is that while, yes, we may talk about carrying all the health data with us and moving all the financial data, and of course, all of these things basically must be done, and the vision is there. But how can we actually do it if we even cannot recognize it, such as digital identities? And this is one of those very basic use cases that I know that Mark used to live in Sweden, I think. And he can also kind of explain his very personal story about it. But as also an EID specialist, then I think one of those places that we need to start from is actually digital identity, because this is the very basic thing of being a human and being able to recognize it.
Well, I agree with you in that sense. If we look at it from this angle of view, personally haven't met so much from the political or governmental level that Estonia is a small country somewhere there. It's actually this mentality, what I have seen, is more in real business. If we talk about the private sector or between the peoples, people are not used to that. We have this Baltic region is actually with a long history and culture countries. It's they look more like some newbies or something like that. And this is, I feel, sometimes if I even travel in Sweden, I talk to locals, it has been less than it was for 15, 20 years ago. But still, this mentality remains, but not anymore at the political level. I don't believe that. But of course, since everybody, we are human beings, so it might make some impact on how people take it that now someone from the side, a new country, and they are coming and talking that they do something better or they have something better. How can it be? Or something like that. But in general, when we talk about electronic identity itself, I'm really happy to have a history behind me from the Sweden, because I have seen from the inside how this Nordic society in all Nordic countries is working. And I would say that they are actually top in the world when we talk about electronic identity and use of it in the society. The issue we have today is not so much technical as much theoretical. You see, every country in the Nordic, we all have the same basic concept that person will be identified physically by using his physical characteristics or biometrics. And government is rolling out the identity to the person. In normal physical world, we issue some kind of ID document. It can be passport, can be ID card, or in some countries even accepted as a driving license. So this is a baseline that we have in this region completely. Nordic, Baltic, we are completely the same. We put numbers on people, we identify them in the databases by the numbers, but in real life, we look at the face and compare to the document picture. But then when we're talking about the electronic identity, here comes a little bit of differences. So in the Baltic region, we look like electronic identity, it's the same identity as a physical identity. And electronic identity is like an identity document in electronic format or for electronic use. So if government issues a passport, why they cannot issue an e-passport or electronic passport? Well, if government issues ID card to identify and use the services, governmental services, why can't I use it also for electronic verbs? And here comes this, as we talk about this cultural legacy, where the banking industry has a big impact on this part in the Nordic countries. And the government, I don't know if government doesn't feel or doesn't want to have responsibility for that. But it doesn't mean that government should take it from the banks. No, no, no. If banks have a solution that works and people are happy with that, keep it as it is. But we need to have some kind of organizational agreements here. More organizational agreements on how to solve this issue so we can trust each other's solutions and also tie together different identities of the same person. So it's a completely different story. We can take it later, but yes.
So before the Estonians nerd totally out, please, Nina, do you have anything to say to this small provocation of mine?
Yes, absolutely. And I totally disagree with you. So coming from my part, and you know, I lived in the Nordics and Nordic region, I don't recognize that. But of course, as Mark said, there was like all kinds of people and a lot of opinions made from the Nordic collaboration point of view, and from also being working with the Finnish governmental system, I must say that I really don't agree. But so I think that it's very important. And when we talk about the digitalization, so I think that my experience is that for all the Nordic, you know, if you like, the old Nordic countries are looking into the Baltic countries, and they, wow, what kind of, and especially Estonia being very front in this. So we follow the international discussion, and maybe in our hearts we feel a little bit envious as well. So you never know. But just to be very clear, that I think that it's been a very positive discussions and a lot of interest towards what you have been doing. And if I may, just to sum up from my part, also like very personal note. Yes, I like, Mark, what you're saying, those multiple identities of a one person. Because if we are integrated, want to be an integrated region, we want to travel, we want to live, study, work abroad, or within the different locations in our region, we need to be recognized as a person with multiple identity numbers. And personally, I have three. So I would really like to see a day that I can live and work in Nordics with only with one.
Yes. So I just one comment to Nina's yes, this is a good example. You have three, I have two, but... The thing is that we don't need to have a one unique for the whole region, but we need to have some kind of system or process that how we can unify them, or at least disregarding which identifier I representing, the counterpart will know who I am. This is the challenge we should solve actually in this region.
And actually, this is a very good example. I actually have been working on the same type of a problem on a global level, and basically a kind of an aggregator for identificators, or a way to understand who is who in which context, basically. And again, from the technical side, this is not a technical problem. This is mainly a leadership and organization and a cultural thing. And one of those ideas, I've been actually working together and maybe hopefully see a global pilot also with International Red Cross on it. And that's the case that it's a question of ownership. Again, like, for example, if we talk about how to have the identity interoperability across the borders and build the church, then it's a question in the public sector. I think the main question always comes down to ownership, that who is the organization responsible for doing that, and what are the procedures and processes how to do that. For instance, how can we make the digital identity work across all Scandinavian and Baltic countries? Has anybody got any good ideas? And what could be the next steps in this particular use case as a kind of provocative thought exercise?
I don't have any answer to that. I know that in the Nordic Council of Ministers we have and the Nordic Council and all the you know, the Nordic collaboration are working on this. I mean, to have identity one and identity number but I think that this is something that I don't know personally how long it is. I hope that it will be soon. It has been a long process. But I was just starting to wonder what Mark was saying about multiple identities, and I think that this might be even a larger issue to have of how we could have multiply strategies of identifying people and in the different segments, because you have so many different needs. I mean, you might pay taxes in one country and get your salary and your banking in one, and then you might have your healthcare in third. So I think that this is actually a very interesting question, a big one. And maybe we need to go and have some thoughts and get back to this. But I think that there is we need to think out of box, definitely.
I agree that we need, and in NOBIT work group has been this discussion for a couple of years ago, raised pretty much every meeting. We didn't have any solution for that because every country has their own needs and their own thoughts about it. But I see it positively because it's already taken into discussion. It would be much, much worse if nobody will recognize this issue. And this is with this taxes is really interesting because the same thing, you can raise the issue, but nobody will understand this issue until you're taking any practical example. Not only that person has his personal data divided, located in different countries and cannot bring them together, but there is also cases for misuse of the system. So one practical example would be if a person is living and working in different countries, he have different identities from two different countries. So as an entrepreneur, I could basically hire another person to work for my company, which is also me, but with another identifier. And especially in the Nordic countries where we have these taxes are depending on how much I earn. So I can have my high level of income divided between two virtual persons and pay less taxes. So when we raise this question in this point of view, then certainly some people start to understand this issue. But if you're saying that one person has two identifiers in one country, one identifier, another, they don't understand the issue.
That's a very nice explanation of the problem, why we need to actually have trust and data interoperability between all the countries. Because, like, for example, all of this is a very economically tightly knit region, and there is so much trade and business and people going to work on either side of the Baltic Sea. So these are very human use cases. But what do you think? What could be the next big steps in building the data interoperability, and as a kind of a concluding remarks of what do you think should be the next steps, that because this podcast, we all of us understand it, this is a drop in the ocean, and we are constantly dropping our little ideas here, but what is the next, could be the next steps that actually could result in some practical outcomes as well?
Well, I think from the practical perspective, we should take use case by use case that we see that on the market is needed. Like a special, like example between Finland and Estonia with electronic prescriptions. It was a practical need because Finnish people were visiting a lot in Estonia. They have vacation and they need to buy their medication. And they couldn't do that because the prescriptions was in electronic form in Finland, but they couldn't buy it out here, or vice versa. The visiting doctor in Estonia getting some prescriptions, and then they're traveling to Finland, want to buy the medicine. They can't do that. So this is a one simple practical example. Let's take this use case and solve it. But as I said, it's really important that when we solve this, it's not only involved people from this area or this business case. It has to be some orchestrator here who is seeing that, okay, guys, if you do it the way that we can reuse this model at any other instance for the taxes or for police data exchange or for agricultural information exchange or whatever we need to exchange in the future.
Yeah, well, I agree with Mark that we need to take the concrete cases and lift them up. So I think maybe the next thing could be to inform each other what is already being done and on process. So that would be a very concrete way to start. And there I think the Nordic collaboration can also play a role, because we have a lot of activities and we have offices in the Baltic, so we are gathered in that sense. So that would be maybe one thing that we could do and start sharing. And it's also easy to start to look at what are people doing. I mean, joining each other's events, because we have such a huge amount of things happening now. And so I think that and just like in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a Nordic Circular Summit. And that would be one of those places that interoperability will be on agenda. So I think this is a very practical way to start to participate to each other's events and communicate what is already being done, and then move from there, like what is needed.
So and I would also perhaps try to comment a bit that what could be, because as we started the podcast, I think the core value here is that we here in the Nordic and Baltic region, we can actually be the pathfinders in this domain. Because when we look at the world today, then actually we can see that what we see is China building out its Big Brother infrastructure in a centralized architecture way. We see US in a quasi-decentral where private companies are owning the data. That's also a Big Brother architecture. But European Union is taking its step-by-step approach with GDPR and all the other things to a more human-centric place. But all of us actually know that the EU will take time in actually deploying these things. So perhaps if we can do and build this human-centric data exchange and interoperability, then my main point is that when we do it in the Nordic Baltic region, we should not forget everybody else as well. So that when we do this, we do this not only for us, the rich countries, but we do it for the everybody. Because as we see the different technologies evolving and we can see Estonia, for example, currently has about 80 narrow AI applications working in the public sector. And a lot of these things are coming and fundamentally changing the way we see and perceive the world. Then in a very philosophical statement, it's a question of free will that we are able to actually provide these services also across borders. And because okay, now with COVID, the borders have kind of come up, but in reality, the borders I've been moving away, and I think the governmental borders in terms of service delivery should do the same. But more or less, trying to wrap up today's hour-long discussion on how to get the bits and bytes moving across the Baltic Nordic region, I think it's clearly and obvious that we are just scraping the surface, or perhaps not even that. And the main issues is still mindset-wise, cultural-wise, and procedures, legacy, all of those things. And we need to have a coherent and kind of a whole of government approach, of whole of region approach, to actually deploy these kind of services. Because all of these countries in the Nordic and Baltics, we have digitalized most of our governmental services by now anyways. The extra layer of value what we can provide is to do it in a cross-border fashion. And this is something that we need to show the world, that we can build an interconnected region where all of this cross-border economical activity actually can flow with ease, with less hassle, and with no bureaucratic hassle. And I think this is one of the things that we can do in the region. But again, this needs to... we still need to start building stronger collaboration, as always, and all of these very abstract, generic words that are always written into all documents and said that. But again, I would still like this idea that Mark put on the table, and I think all of us agree that we need to start building a church in the middle of somewhere, hopefully the Baltic Sea, and maybe get everybody involved and have a very clear use case that we all of us can actually contribute and thus build the region in this kind of a positive feedback spiral, where the society acknowledges that, I don't know, this or that use case actually make my life easier in a regional way, and this actually helps to build the culture and also perhaps regional identity, that we are in this together and we are doing this not only for our region but actually trying to help the world. So thank you, Nina. Thank you, Mark. And let's continue these discussions somewhere, sometimes. And thank you, the Nordic Council of Ministers, for hosting us in this discussion. Over and out. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nordic Sustainable Economy Podcast Series, delivered by Nordic Council of Ministers.